Welcome, everyone, to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Your host is Marty Jones, and our guests today are Esteban Salazar and Marcos Lobato from San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. We want to be sure to thank Don Richmond for the music that you're listening to, and to thank Daniel Boyce for the bird songs that you'll hear throughout this. Well, Esteban, you are the health and wellness coordinator for the San Luis Valley Great Outdoors, SLV Go. And Marcos, you're one of the new, probably the newest outdoor embajadores. So welcome and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Dr. Jones.
And tell us a little bit about why you're here.
Well, we are here this afternoon to share out some information about our wellness programming, specifically our summer schedule and spring schedule events that we want to highlight in terms of public group walks, public runs, and some bike rides that we're going to get on the calendar for the spring and spring and summer. And we're real excited to share that information with you. In addition to that schedule and offerings that we hope to present to the community in Alamosa, Monte Vista, and Del Norte, I wanted to tie today's discussion into where we are as a community and as individuals within community and how we may or may have not been impacted by social isolation during the pandemic and how we're moving forward and how we envision our wellness programming complementing efforts in the community to reinvigorate, restore relationships and how to, you know, feel comfortable in this post-COVID world about, you know, reestablishing our connection to community. And I guess to provide some context, you know, I think that we all experienced some of the, you know, bigger interesting things during COVID, you know, social distancing, and for many of our community members, particularly our older adults, our seniors, and our individuals that are in places like residential housing facilities. A thought comes to mind. I have a 94-year-old grandfather who's at Home Lake Veterans Center in Monte Vista, and he, you know, obviously there was a focused effort necessary to stop the spread of the disease, and in that public facility, they were very, very strict about, you know, how many people could visit the residents and the frequency of the visits, you know. And I think at the height of the pandemic, we were allowed an hour a visit time per family member and one family member per week, and all that had to be cleared by the administration and put on a schedule, and it was very effective in stopping the spread of COVID within that population. However, the unintended consequences of that rigor of social isolation resulted in many community members just stepping back and, you know, really leaning into the distancing. And now I think we're all trying to understand, you know, that we're moving in a different direction and we're trying to regain and repair those relationships and try to be more immersed as individuals within community. So that's something that I really think that our health and wellness program can help with in addressing some social isolation issues. Primarily, you know, these public outings, for example, on Tuesday mornings here in Alamosa at the East Campus building off of First Street and La Vida Avenue at the old Evans Elementary School, we are meeting a group of older adults every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. To get our steps in. Today, I got just a shade over 4 miles in, along with, you know, a number of community members, enthusiastic community members who want to work around some of the limitations that we have here in the Valley.
So, Esteban, let me interrupt for just a minute. At the East Campus, are you walking outdoors, or you're not walking just in the gym there?
No, that's exactly right. You nailed it. We are in the gymnasium, and it's a rather small gymnasium compared to some of the bigger, you know, venues on campus. Evans was an elementary school for many, many years, and it was adequate for, you know, that group of students there. The university has taken that physical location under their wing as an extension to their campus, and that is where we are meeting collectively at 9 on Tuesdays to do this group rock. So we're really excited with some of the things that we're bringing to bear there. We're taking in some baseline vital statistics, blood pressure, and heart rates, and we're charting participants' progress through that. And we're just hoping to collect a bit of data to share with those individuals to encourage them, because we know that, you know, their health is going to improve. Obviously, increase in physical activity is great for our physical well-being. What many people don't know is the benefits, the behavioral health benefits to activity. You know, we are working on our nature prescription program, which takes it a step further and does promote physical activity in the outdoors. But based on a Alamosa City Parks and Rec survey and the Area Health Education Center survey that went out in fall of 2022, a lot of the feedback given to us from our community is obviously the shortening of the days and the really cold, extreme temperatures in the valley make it very challenging for individuals who want to stay active, who have taken up, walking or hiking or running during the summer months when it's more comfortable to do those things. Now we're just trying to support those people to keep up that behavior of, you know, activity, and we're bringing it inside. So we're calling it Golden Pathways, and again, it's Tuesday mornings at 9 at East Campus at the old Evans Elementary School. And in addition to those, we're going to be also doing weekly bike rides in and around Alamosa, and our other Embajadre, Fernando, is going to be doing some Saturday bike rides to open it up to a more inclusive community for many of our community members who, you know, can't meet up at a trailhead at 5 a.m. or have really long work hours, maybe in the ag industry. Some of our Hispanic community members aren't able to engage, and we've had a lot of interest in from that community, from that demographic. And I think our plan is to accommodate them by scheduling some Saturday rides in Alamosa and then at some trailheads. And we're really excited for this new season, and I'm excited to introduce and have Marco share out what he's bringing to the table as far as his passion, his interests, and developing another wellness group, community outdoor program. And I'll go ahead and let Marcos take it away from there.
Yeah, so I have found physical and mental health, just well-being, from my adventures in running. When I was 30, I, on a whim, signed up for the lottery for the Chicago Marathon and was selected and had to figure out training from there. And I wasn't a runner beforehand. When I was 22, I weighed 240 pounds, and you wouldn't have seen me running a mile back then. And this last summer, I just attempted my first 100-mile race.
Holy smoke.
Wasn't successful, but that's part of the learning journey. And, you know, you make mistakes and you grow from them, but you just keep trying. And so for me, I've had a huge impact in being part of a running club out of Denver that, made me feel really included in the trail running community, just helped me bridge some of the gaps in my knowledge to how to do it safely, how to, you know, get the most enjoyment out of it, but also have that community support around it. And that's really what we're going for with our group run programming that we're going to start offering. February 29th is going to be the first day here in Alamosa. We're planning on meeting at the disc golf course 5:15 p.m. so we can kind of beat the sunlight going down there. But I'll be out, you know, a little bit beforehand. So community members that want to come out, just encouraged to come join us. We're going to, you know, have a few different route options. So whether or not you're looking to do a mile or 3 miles, if you're already an established runner, or if you're just wanting to be able to get yourself to run 1 mile without stopping, we want to encourage everyone to come out.
And for those of you who don't know where the disc golf course is, would you please tell them how they can get there by vehicle or, and by bicycle or by walking also?
Absolutely, yeah. So if you are heading from Alamosa down State Street, you go across the bridge and past the golf course, and then make a left at that stop sign to head out North River Road. It's maybe a quarter of a mile, half a mile down on North River Road. There's a left-hand turn, and you follow that dirt road all the way back, and there's a parking area for the disc golf course there. If you want to join on bicycle, it's really easy to get there if you just jump on the river levee and ride that out to the disc golf course. That just drops you right there.
And you could run out there, too, on that levee as well.
Absolutely.
What kinds of routes are available at the disc golf course for people who are not familiar with the trails that are there?
Yeah, so I think the two big ones out there are the Inner Oxbow, which offers just about a mile if you're starting and ending at the parking lot, and then the Outer Oxbow Trail, which gives you closer to 3 miles, brings you back onto the river levee to get you back to the disc golf course. But some great trail options, really nice to run on that softer terrain, doesn't have the impact on the joints as much, and you get to see some pretty stuff while you're running, which is always a nice distraction.
And maybe hear some sandhill cranes. They're coming back to the valley. And when I've been out at the riparian park the last couple of times, I've heard them. So that's a good thing. That's the first one, February 29th. Are you planning to have some regular weekly or monthly trail runs?
Yeah, so for Alamosa, we're going to be doing Thursdays, every Thursday evening. As the days get longer, we'll might push the start time back a little bit to give most amount of people the opportunity to get off of work, come join us. And also in the summer months, you know, it's still pretty hot at 5:15 p.m., so having a little bit later start. But it is something every Thursday in Alamosa, we're going to be doing this. Every Monday in Monta Vista, we're going to be doing it as well.
Where do you meet in Monta Vista?
We're going to be meeting at the Skeff Nature Trail behind Big R.
So that's on the west side of town, if you're not familiar with where the Skeff Nature Trail is or where Big R is. And Esteban had mentioned something about activities in Del Norte also. What do you have planned for Del Norte?
Well, I think, you know, we're seeking some community feedback from individuals from the community of Del Norte. We are concerned with the spring school sports schedule. We have youth soccer and cross country is big in Del Norte, and we're just collecting a little feedback from the community. But I think we've narrowed it down to Saturday or Sunday, and I think those are going to start off in the next few weeks. But we'll have more information available on the internet, on our social media platforms of Instagram and Facebook in the next several.
And if people want to join with these activities, the walks or the runs or later on the bike rides, how can they get in touch with you folks?
Well, when it comes to the community walk program, the Golden Pathways program at Evans Elementary School, folks can reach out to me directly at estevan@slvgo.com. That's E as in Echo, S as in Sierra, T as in Tango, E as in Echo, B as in Bravo, A as in Alpha, and as in November at slvgo.com. Also, you can reach out to me directly at my cell phone, which is 719-580-9532.
And Marcos, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so for all the run programming stuff, it's Marcos at SLVGO, MARCOS. They can also text me or call me at 512-538-8962. But really want to just make an inclusive environment, so all ages, all fitness levels are welcome. I'm happy to answer any questions people have in terms of what they might need to come out and join us. We're going to try to get some lightly used gear available too. So if people don't have shoes necessarily or some of the equipment, we want to be able to help get everybody involved in this that wants to be a part of it.
Nice. That's very good. Important to try to break down as many barriers as possible. And what should people plan to bring to the walks and to the runs? Something besides just shoes. Should they be bringing their own water bottles? What?
We do plan to have some water available for people at the runs. You know, you're going to want to check the weather and find out what you're comfortable with in terms of you might need a jacket still if you're more comfortable running in pants because it's, you know, still a little chilly out there. But definitely you want to have moisture-wicking clothing as much as possible. You know, cotton can be an issue when it gets wet and it's cold out. So what you have for that, bring, and you know, I'm happy to direct people to, you know, what products are really good that I've had success with, and happy to share that knowledge and information with people.
Yeah, well, as far as the indoor walk program goes, right now we are keeping it in the gymnasium. We have water available. We have some professionals from the healthcare world who'll be, you know, monitoring blood pressure and heart rates, you know, and encouraging people to walk as little or as much as they want. We're not out there trying to do a 5-minute mile. Again, we're trying to make this inclusive, appealing to the older adult population, and understanding that, you know, a lot of people might be coming from a background of a sedentary lifestyle or in varying degrees of fitness. So the only thing that I would advise people to bring is a friend, a neighbor, a community member, an acquaintance. We're really trying to enhance, you know, the participation, but we want to make it as open to anybody in the community as possible. So we just want people to enthusiastically share out our schedule. And we've had an uptick in participation in the last couple weeks, and I anticipate that we may be also committing to a Thursday morning walk at the same location.
Oh, that's very good. And for our listeners who are not regular walkers, especially not on a wooden gym surface, it's probably best not to bring heavy-duty hiking shoes or hiking boots, but more like tennis shoes or sneakers or something of that sort.
Absolutely. That's probably the one thing I would recommend beyond bringing a friend or family member is something that's comfortable to walk in. You know, definitely don't want any construction boots. You know, those things will mar and scuff the surface of the gymnasium, but also they're not terribly comfortable to walk in. Additionally, we're looking at how we might be able to incentivize people's participation in the walk program and adhering to this nature prescription. And what we've developed is a punch card, and we're hoping that we can have four different punch card offerings. So as folks turn in their punch card, we can incentivize their commitment to the program through outdoor gear.
Very good. Any last comments that you guys would like to make?
Well, I just like to, just share out this great work that we're developing with ParkRx America Nature Prescriptions. And you know, the focus is not just, you know, the obvious physical benefits, but, you know, depression, anxiety, insomnia. There are just a multitude of behavioral health benefits to this activity. And, you know, once things warm up, we're going to be taking the program outdoors again. We'll probably be doing our walk in the park at Cole Park on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings to keep the momentum going throughout the months where, you know, the temperatures are more conducive to that kind of activity.
Very good. Marcos?
I think I just want to let everyone know that these runs are set up for everybody. If you want to run a minute, walk a minute, and get through 1 mile, we want to have you out there. If you're already running 10 miles a day, we want to see you come out and help support these people that are getting going. I think, having that support and that encouragement from others really helps the exercise stick, and you start to see the health benefits from it very quickly when you're consistent with it.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Estevan and Marcos. We've been talking with Estevan Salazar, the Health and Wellness Coordinator for San Luis Valley Great Outdoors, and Marcos Lobato, the newest Outdoor Embajador for San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. We'll be right back after a brief message from our sponsors. You're listening to The Outdoor Citizen.
Are you a member of the Monta Vista Co-op? Now is the best time to become a member and take advantage of the benefits. Propane, oil, crop protection, drone application, farm and ranch supplies, and much more. Visit mvcoop.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram for all company sales, promotions, community events, and job opportunities. Serving our community since 1949, the Monta Vista Co-op is committed to providing the highest quality products and services. Call us at 719-852-5181 or visit our website, mvcoop.com today. Monta Vista Co-op, community committed, agriculturally driven.
Welcome back to The Outdoor Citizen. We've got some upcoming outdoor events to tell you about. And you recognize the sound that you're hearing right now, the sound of sandhill cranes. They're here in the valley. I've been seeing them out on my bike rides out north of town and west of town. And that means that the Monta Vista Crane Festival is coming up March 8th through 10th. Thousands upon thousands of sandhill cranes will be stopping in the San Luis Valley on their great and ancient migration route. The whole weekend is filled with opportunities to meet crane experts, see and study the cranes and their feeding grounds, and meet people from the valley and beyond. You can find more information on the weekend's events at mvcranefest.org. The Congreso de Acequias is set for March 9th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Centennial School District in San Luis. The Congreso is hosted by the Sangre de Cristo Acequia Association, whose mission it is to represent and preserve Colorado's acequias and the communities surrounding them. All community members are invited. Lunch, coffee, and snacks will be provided. There will be music and a screening of the PBS documentary La Sierra. The State of the Basin Symposium is set for March 30th. This year's theme and topic discussion will be on the perspectives on historical challenges. Registration opens at 8 a.m. at Richardson Hall on the Adams State University campus. On top of the current state of the basin, there will be presentations on acequias and the latest developments in the renewable water resources front. Colorado Trout Unlimited will host an annual river conservation and fly fishing camp for teen youth at AEI Base Camp in Taylor Park, Colorado, from June 9th through 15th, 2024. The deadline to submit an application is April 1st. San Luis Valley Chapter of Trout Unlimited will be sponsoring a scholarship to this annual camp. Youth aged 14 through 18 are eligible to apply for the camp. The River Conservation and Fly Fishing Camp provides a unique immersive experience for teens interested in the outdoors, fly fishing, and potential conservation-related career paths. For more information, you can send an email to SLV Trout Unlimited Education Coordinator Kevin Milder at slvtroutunlimited@gmail.com, and Kevin will provide more information and a link to apply for the camp. Applications will require a short essay. Remember, the Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events from across the San Luis Valley. Be sure to check it out, submit your own events, and stay up to date at alamosacitizen.com. Next, we have the latest on snow conditions. The Rio Grande Basin is currently at 87% of median, with spring runoff just around the corner. According to the U.S. Drought Monitor report from February 15th, the San Luis Valley is out of extreme drought conditions and in severe drought conditions. Out of the red and into the orange, or to quote Neil Young, out of the black into the blue. Some snow is likely over the next week. Despite being one of the strongest on record, the El Nino year we're in is starting to slowly fade into a La Nina, according to the Climate Prediction Center. Pacific Ocean temperatures are starting to shift, which could mean hotter and drier conditions throughout the summer and later into the fall. Here are some conditions from our local ski areas. Wolf Creek is reporting a 71-inch base and a 228-inch season total. Snow is likely during the middle of this week, but it'll probably be a bluebird weekend. Monarch Mountain is reporting a 56-inch base and a season total of 193 inches. Snow is also likely during the week and bluebird skies during the weekend. Meanwhile, down south, Taos Ski Valley is reporting a 50-inch base depth with very little chance of snow over the next week. Now we have the current avalanche conditions for the southern San Juan Mountain Range. As of Tuesday, February 20th, avalanche danger in the southern San Juans is moderate above tree line and low below and at tree line. According to the Colorado Avalanche Information Center, it is getting more challenging to trigger a large, dangerous avalanche that breaks on buried weak layers. You are most likely to trigger such an avalanche where you find a shallow area of the snowpack. Likely trigger points exist near rock outcroppings, on steep rollovers, and below ridges and cliff bands. You can trigger a smaller avalanche where winds have recently drifted snow onto northerly and easterly facing slopes. Small avalanches in the wind-drifted snow could step down to buried weak layers in the middle of the snowpack, triggering a larger and more dangerous slide. Use caution on steeper wind-drifted slopes that have a rounded or wave-like appearance or where the snow surface transitions from soft to stiff. You can find safer riding options below treeline or on low-angled, wind-sheltered slopes without steep overhead hazards. Next up, the news. Don't forget, each news item we cover on The Outdoor Citizen can be found in full on alamosacitizen.com. The Costilla County Commissioners will be having a public hearing March 5th for the matter of a high fence surrounding the Cielo Vista Ranch. The fence is 8 feet tall. Costilla County has a moratorium on fences over 5 feet. The La Sierra Environmental Guardians Committee recently called on multiple government agencies to intervene due to alleged watershed damage and environmental degradation due to the construction of the fence. Large equipment has moved in and out of the area, causing erosions. The actual fence itself is a problem for smaller animals, as the fence design tapers toward the bottom. The holes in the fence are less than 4 inches across and could disrupt smaller animals' habitat and migration routes. We have a couple of news items from the Great Sand Dunes National Park and Preserve. The National Park is seeking artists to lead a workshop on October 5th. The chosen artist will lead a public program or workshop in their selected field or medium. Painting, photography, music, dance, sculpture, and writing are all possibilities, but artists are certainly not limited to those mediums. To apply, write a one-page or less summary of the proposed workshop or program, along with samples of work in the form of digital images or a website link, to patrick_myers@nps.gov. That's patrick_myers@nps.gov. Applications must be received by March 31st. The National Park is also seeking public input and feedback on initial proposed ideas for Great Sand Dunes National Park and Preserve's transportation and transit planning effort. Staff will share the park's transportation improvement concept at public meetings and gather public feedback on the initial concept to address challenges presented by increased and changing visitor use patterns. The first public meeting is set for February 28th, and that will be virtual. Beginning February 28th, the public can also provide formal comments. The preferred method for submitting comments is online. Comments may also be mailed or hand-delivered to Great Sand Dunes Visitor Center with attention to transportation and transit planning. The address is 11999 State Highway 150, Mosca, Colorado 81146. The deadline to submit comments is March 29th. At the conclusion of the 30-day public comment period, the National Park Service will analyze and consider all comments received. A draft environmental assessment will likely be released for public review in fall of 2024. A final decision is expected in early 2025. That brings us to the end of this episode of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. The Outdoor Citizen is supported by SLV Go and produced by Owen Woods. A special thanks to Don Richmond for his song Sea Turtle, and to Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. The weather is warming up, folks. Punxsutawney Phil was right. It's going to be an early spring. So with this increase in temperature, make sure you enjoy the upcoming spring and get outdoors. Until next time, this is Marty Jones. We hope to see you outside.